are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. As always, we're off to a roaring start.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'm a little rusty.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Last pitcher we'll talk about here, Mike, just because we're contractually obligated to talk about him, is Chris Archer when he starts on a Friday. So Archer at Boston.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
What's the score of that game right now? How's that going?
I think it's like 19-16 in the third inning.
Is that actually it? Please, God, let that be the actual score.
Ryan Howard has 4 home runs.
Oh, my God.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits DFS podcast. This is your show for July 8th. 8th, Michael. July 8th, 2016. I am your host, as always, Cameron Miller. With me, as always, for the Friday show is Mike Werner. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and as always, we're off to a roaring start.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'm a little rusty. I haven't been here in a couple shows. We took the 4th off, and then I had some family stuff going on last Friday, but here we are back, better than ever, I'm sure, and ready to go through Friday's slate with you, our beloved listeners. That being said, we will jump into the pitching slate, as always. Top of the list, Michael, for Friday, Chris Sale, at home against Atlanta, $13,500.
Yeah, I mean, he is the, he's the top-priced option on the day. I don't have him in my lineup currently, but I mean, overall, he's had a great month. There are people talking about him being the American League Cy Young Award winner this year. I would not argue with those people either. The price for me is just a tad too high. I understand that his strikeout upside is immense, but his Ks are down a little bit this year. The Braves, despite being inept against any, sided pitcher, they still are pretty decent at not striking out and putting the bat to the ball. Not saying that Chris Sale is going to go out and have 3 strikeouts on the day, but I do think that, because they minimize the amount of times that they miss, that he won't have the best, strikeout upside, meaning that, 13.5 is just a tad too high for me.
I agree with you, especially considering we have another elite option, just even $100 cheaper than him in Jose Fernandez at home against Cincinnati. I think we both prefer this play.
Yeah, I mean, at home, he has a 1.72 ERA compared to on the road at 4.01. The Reds own the worst OPS over the last couple of weeks. They're also 25th in road games in terms of strikeout percentage. He's gone 7 innings pitched or more with 7 strikeouts or more and has allowed 2 earned runs total in his last 6 starts at home. And that also goes with 3 starts that include 13 strikeouts, 14, and 11. I think that that Jose Fernandez is the guy that, due to strikeout upside alone, is the better play between the two. Obviously, he's only $100 cheaper, so they're essentially the same price. But I mean, Fernandez has just been on a roll this year. The Reds, like I said, struggle on the road. I think that it's a no-brainer. He's the top option.
Yep, completely agree with you. I would much prefer Fernandez in this situation against Sale when they're both at a comparable price. We will continue along the list here. Jake Arrieta, another play that you're interested in. 12-7 here at Pittsburgh against Francisco Liriano.
Yeah, listen, I get it. People are a little worried about Arrieta, and, we've actually talked about it on some of the other podcasts this week. Some of the, underlying metrics that are kind of regressing to the mean for Arrieta overall. But, this is Pittsburgh. He has dominated them. I mean, in 2016 so far, the last 2 seasons at least, 3 starts against them, a 0.86 ERA, 0.67 whip, 12 strikeouts per 9. In 2015, he had 5 starts against them. He went 3-1 with a 0.75 ERA and a 0.64 whip. That included an 8 strikeout per 9. The Pirates don't do great at home, especially lately. And, I mean, overall, they are solid against right-handed pitchers. But, I mean, due to the history against the Pirates alone, I think Arrieta is a strong, move for today. I do think that it comes with risk since, we've seen him over the last month, uptick in walks, especially, in the month of June, he had the highest walk rate of his last 2 years here, almost at 5 per 9. hopefully that kind of corrects itself. But overall, I think that he is going to be a bit contrarian because the price is high and, you know, you're really not getting any type of discount, you know, despite the fact that he's been pitching a bit worse of late.
Yeah, my issue with Arrieta here today is that he's just kind of in a sandwich for me because I would rather spend up to get Fernandez at that point, $700 difference, which I know when you're talking about the high-end pricing, the $700 really can make a difference in the offensive potential, but I'd still rather find a way to get Fernandez in. And I think there's guys that are cheaper that I'd rather pay the cheaper price for than take a gamble on Arrieta. Now, obviously, Arrieta has been very good pretty much all season, like you said, regressing a little bit as of late, but still a very productive pitcher, very dominant, gets the strikeouts for you, but I would rather go a little bit lower with a guy like the next one we're going to talk about here in Noah Syndergaard for $10,800. He is at home against Washington.
Nice segue. I appreciate I appreciate the professionalism.
Yeah, I'm here for you. Thanks for calling it out. It could have just been seamless.
I know. you can always rely on me to be unprofessional. But, you know, Syndergaard, you know, he obviously has that bone spur in his elbow, which, you know, sounds off all the alarms for everybody that owns him in season-long fantasy. You know, in terms of facing Washington in this start, the last time he faced them, he put up 40 fantasy points, at least the last time he faced them in Citi Field. He did have a start in between where he faced them on the road in Nationals Park and he didn't do quite as well, but overall he has a, you know, 2.07 ERA with a 12 strikeout per nine at home. On the road it's a full run higher and two strikeouts less. You know, he also last season had a lot of success against the Nationals. They've also struck out over 20% of the time the last couple of weeks, which is much higher than they have prior. So I think that there's a lot of upside with Noah Syndergaard, at least for this start. For the season, that's a different story. There's obviously a lot of concern with that elbow, but at least for today, the price is a bit depressed based on what it's been earlier in the season. And I think based on the fact that, you know, he's already shown that he can dominate the Nationals in Citi Field, that he's worth the bargain or worth the gamble.
Yep, I completely agree with you. If Syndergaard's going to be healthy going forward, it's not going to be much cheaper than the price tag you're going to get for him on this day. And since we're looking at DFS, we're just looking at one start here. Just need that arm to hold up for six, seven, eight innings here. So I'm willing to pay the price there as opposed to getting up into the Arrieta territory. And I don't prefer him to Fernandez, but I was able to make a more competent offense, I think, getting Syndergaard in there as would be expected. So I kind of like where my offense ended up getting him in there over those top end guys as well. So I actually am rolling with Syndergaard in my lineup today. But we will continue along the list here. Just a couple other options. I know Scott Kazmir was one that you mentioned. He's at home with San Diego coming in. Kashner on the mound for San Diego, and that not a great offense for San Diego either.
Yeah, San Diego strikes out the fourth most against lefties this year. They also have the fourth highest strikeout rate over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, when you have guys like Melvin Upton in the lineup, you're going to consistently get strikeouts. He also pitches much better at home. He has 39 strikeouts over his last 25 innings pitched at home in Dodger Stadium. Like I mentioned, he has faced San Diego before and, you know, he's done well and then he's also done bad. I think that this is strictly a tournament play. You know, if I had to bet on it, I would say that he does well. But again, I don't have him in my actual lineup. I think that if you want to save some salary and go down, I think Kazmir is a really good option. But me personally, you know, not to give anything away, but I am attempting to have my lineup have Jose Fernandez and Noah Syndergaard in it, which means that I'm going to be foregoing Scott Kazmir. But I think overall, you know, the fact that the Padres just struggle so much against lefties is a really good sign for what he could possibly do today.
I'm glad to hear that you're trying to accomplish what is literally impossible given the offensive constraints we have today by putting Fernandez and Syndergaard in your lineup, Mike. But I guess we'll get to that later in the show.
Yeah, you'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be ugly. Continuing along with a couple other options that we would consider playing, Michael Wacha was one that spoke up to you there. He's at Milwaukee, Jimmy Nelson on the mound for Milwaukee, only 8,100 for Wacha. Been fairly productive as of late, so someone you were interested in playing at that price.
Yeah, he has two solid outings against Milwaukee earlier this year. He has a 13-2 strikeout to walk ratio in those 11 innings pitched against the Brewers. Milwaukee also owns the highest strikeout percentage over the last couple of weeks, and they own the highest strikeout percentage against righties, the second highest strikeout percentage at home. Obviously, you know, Miller Park is a place that is very good for hitters, so there is that risk there. But, I mean, they just traded away Aaron Hill, so what could go wrong, right? I mean, that's their biggest asset. You would assume that Waka can just breeze through that lineup. In all reality, you have guys like Chris Carter in there, and then a bunch of other no-names like Kirk Nieuwenhuis and stuff like that. So, I mean, really all he has to worry about is Jonathan Lucroy and Ryan Braun. I think that he can, you know, achieve some good results there. And also, he has, you know, done much better as of late compared to what he was doing earlier in the season. I think that he's going to be a much more quality pitcher going forward. So, I think Waka is a pretty decent guy to grab, especially at his price tag.
Yep, I don't really have any argument with it. There are a couple other options that that I wanted to consider a little bit lower on the price tier, and we'll actually jump into those right now. Well, one of them is actually higher that I just want to get your opinion on, but we'll go lower first. I'm not recommending this for the faint of heart, but I am going to bring up John Gray here. I know he is in Colorado, and Philly has actually been hitting the ball relatively decent lately. But Gray with some strikeout potential, only $6,900. Am I crazy for trying to find a cheaper pair with Syndergaard here? Because this was kind of the name that spoke up to me.
We talked about this prior to the podcast starting. First and foremost, I love Jonathan Gray. If you know me, I've spoke openly about how much I love the guy, and I would wish nothing more than for him to do amazing in this start. Philadelphia isn't an amazing offense. You know, when you look at, you know, the offense as a whole, you have guys like Tommy Joseph in there. Ryan Howard strikes out a million times a game. I mean, he has like a 150 batting average. You have guys like Freddie Galvis in there. But at the same time, over the last couple of weeks, they actually owned the highest OPS overall on offense, which, I mean, I don't know if that's a typo. I hope it's not. But, you know, FanGraphs is pretty accurate in their statistics, so I'm assuming that they're right here. And they own an over 900 OPS over the last couple of weeks. They also own one of the lowest strikeout rates as well. Obviously, in daily fantasy, we're looking for strikeouts. Jonathan Gray certainly possesses the upside to, you know, get strikeouts in every single start. He's the type of guy that, you know, has the repertoire to do that. So in tournaments, I don't mind it because I really don't think he's going to be that high owned.
No,
I really don't. I mean, obviously this is Coors Field, so, you know, you would assume that if anything, more people are going to be actually stacking the Phillies offense rather than going with Jonathan Gray as their starter. But he has an elite swing strike rate. He gets people to miss fairly easily. He also has an elite strikeout rate overall. Very good command so far this season for a young guy. So I think there's worse gambles to take. Do I think that he's going to end up being successful in this one? It's a toss-up, but I am rooting for it, even though I don't necessarily think it's the smartest move in the world.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I'm looking for a cheap pair here with Syndergaard, and I don't really like a lot of the other options that let me kind of build the offense the way I want to. So Gray was the one that I had settled on there. I am banking on the fact that the Philly offense as a whole isn't a productive offense. I know this is Colorado, and they actually have been relatively hot lately, so it is a major, major gamble. But if Gray can show some of that strikeout potential, I certainly think that he's capable of producing above that $6,900 price tag. Two more names that we want to talk about on the potential playlist here. Cole Hamels was one of them. Really, this was the guy I was originally pairing with Gray before I decided to go and get Syndergaard instead. But I've been burned by the Minnesota offense actually a couple times lately, so I'm kind of teetering away from it. And Cole Hamels was pretty ugly last time out. Not that would necessarily scare me away, but $9,800, you were kind of telling me you were hesitant on this play.
Yeah, I mean, Hamels has not done well in the walk department so far this year. He's actually has the highest walk rate of his career thus far. He's still getting strikeouts, and the Twins on the season are very bad against lefties. But they did just get Miguel Sano back, and, you know, they have been actually a formidable bunch over these last couple of weeks on offense. I just think that there's a lot of risk. I mean, the start is going to be in Texas with, you know, where the temperatures are starting to heat up a bit. And that's where the field plays a lot better for hitters. I think there's a lot more risk than I'm willing to be comfortable with in this particular outing. And then when you put into it that, you know, Hamels is $9,800 in terms of price, I'm going to steer clear of it. You know, I mean, do I think that there's a possibility Hamels has a really good outing? Absolutely. And so far in Vegas, I mean, he's actually the favorite. So, I mean, I think that there's certainly a spot for him to do well here. But I'm going to be steering clear because I feel like that this is a situation where the Twins could actually be okay, even though, again, you know, Hamels is a -220 favorite and he's one of the highest favorites on the day.
Yeah, I actually don't mind the play of Hamels here. And like I said, I was considering it earlier. I know the walk rate's up, but the Twins are a team that don't really walk in general. I mean, they got a couple guys on that team who will draw a walk, but generally that entire lineup is allergic to walking. So that really doesn't concern me all that much. What concerns me more is they've been more productive lately and he's pitching in Texas. So I grant you that there is definitely some risk there. And at almost $10,000, I certainly don't love it. But I wouldn't fault anyone for wanting to play Hamels in that spot either, because I do think he has some good win potential with Gibson on the mound for Minnesota and Texas just generally being a good team. That being said, I will allow you to talk about the last name on your potential playlist here, even though I think you're batshit crazy. Yordano Ventura is $4,900.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, so far this year has not gone well, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's a ton of optimism on my side for, you know, Yordano Ventura for this season, let alone one start. He did struggle against Seattle earlier this year. Seattle has been a really good offense thus far as well. Last season, he did hold them to 3 runs in 6 innings. He struck out 4, only walked 1 in that start. You know, in his career, he has a 3.69 ERA at home. I mean, and a much better strikeout rate and a much better walk rate than he does on the road. Seattle, you know, they do hit a little bit worse when they're on the road. But overall, yeah, this is giving me a massive gamble. Really, it's the price. I mean, $4,900, if you want to pair him with one of these studs like Chris Sale or Jose Fernandez, that's more or less why I'm saying that he's a possible target for you. Again, carries a ton of risk, but all you really need from him is to do what he did last season, which is, you know, about 5 to 6 innings with 4 to 5 strikeouts and limit it to, you know, 2 to 3 runs. And you definitely pay off the price tag there, and you get to fit in, you know, any of the mini offenses that you know want on this slate. I mean, you have a ton of terrible starters going, including, you know, Sean O'Sullivan, Mike Pelfrey, Ubaldo is going out today. I mean, and you have Coors Field on the slate. There's just a ton of guys on offense that you could possibly roll with. So having Ventura, who isn't the worst starter of all time, you know, at $4,900 is certainly a gamble I think is worth taking. You know, he did leave his last start early because of an ankle issue. So if that kind of crops back up, then, you know, again, I apologize, but you know, he's shown some quality stuff in the past. He still has high velocity. The Mariners have a better offense against lefties than they do against righties overall. I think that there's worse gambles.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely worse gambles. If you really want to pair just the cheapest option possible, something in the $4,000 price range, I certainly think that that's really your only option to pair with Sale or Fernandez if you want to get a respectable offense on the field as well. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Completely understand.
That being said, we'll jump in here just quickly. A couple of pitchers that you're looking to avoid. I know that you had some hesitation with Strasburg and Kluber here, both guys that are towards the top end of the spectrum. Strasburg going for 12.9 at the Mets, and then Corey Kluber going for 11 grand at home against the Yankees.
Strasburg, I mean, both of these guys, really, it's the price tag. But with Strasburg in particular, you know, as soon as you tell me he has a back issue mixed in with like a rib issue, I definitely don't like to hear that. And then also, you know, even though he's been successful against the Mets this year and he's been great on the road, you know, he's struggled with the strikeouts these last couple of starts. He had 5 in his last outing. Before that, he had struck out 10 or more in 4 of his last 5 starts, which tells me that, you know, there's obviously something going on with him. He's not necessarily unhealthy, but he's not fully back from that injury. I don't expect him to be all of a sudden just magically cured against the Mets this time around. And the Mets have just been kind of punishing the ball lately. So I just don't feel good about the 12.9 price tag and the fact that he's going to be, you know, again, in Citi Field, which isn't a launching pad, but just, you know, is going to be in an environment where, you know, he possibly could struggle. I don't feel good about it. And then with Kluber, I mean, he's just a guy that's just been so erratic. Even though the Yankees are not very good on the road, they still don't strike out much. And when you're looking, again, when you're looking at pitchers in DFS, you really want the strikeout upside. That's where you gain a lot of your points. I think Kluber could easily get the win in this game. I mean, Cleveland is hot, and you know he can certainly, like I said before, you know, the Yankees are not very good on the road as an offense, and their OPS shows that, but they don't strike out a ton. They are top five in strikeout percentage against righties and on the road, for that matter. So I just don't see the strikeout upside being that high for Kluber in this outing. And on top of that, he's just been so erratic. You never know what Kluber is going to show up for you. I would rather avoid him.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on both counts in this case. I certainly think, again, this is a situation more like Arrieta, but actually more exacerbated than that. It's guys that are in the middle tier of the price, and I like guys that are slightly above them and slightly below them that I think carry less risk and better price tag. So I completely agree with you. I would be avoiding Kluber and Strasburg. Last pitcher we'll talk about here, Mike, just because we're contractually obligated to talk about him, is Chris Archer when he starts on a Friday. So Archer at Boston, obviously we're just planning on avoiding this at 69. I believe it was 6,900. 68, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's pitches much worse on the road so far this year. I mean, any time that you're looking to target him, it's certainly because he has some strikeout upside and you want to target him at home in Tropicana Field. He's going to be facing Boston, which I think everybody and their mom knows is the best offense in all of baseball right now. Boston, in his history, has given him a lot of trouble. There's no way that I would feel comfortable starting, you know, Chris Archer against this team. I mean, even if you want to be contrarian, this is not the spot to do that. There's certainly other guys that you could go with. I think even Colin McHugh is a guy that probably will be low owned that you could possibly, you know, get a nice outing from. You know, even Francisco Liriano against the Cubs, I think, is a better shot in the dark than somebody like Chris Archer today.
Yep, I'm in agreement with you. I'm not touching him in Boston. With that being said, we're going to move on to the positional players now. We're going to try and keep these limited, as we have been the last couple of shows here. Start with catcher. A couple of cheaper options that I know you like. Travis d'Arnaud, $2,400, and then James McCann, $2,700.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I'm going to try and roll out a lineup where I have Fernandez and Syndergaard in there. That means that I need to target some lower cost bats. D'Arnaud, man, multi-hit games in three of his last six overall, two home runs in that span. He does have a home run and a 400 batting average against Steven Strasburg in his lifetime. And also 379 weighted on base average at home versus righties this season. I think d'Arnaud is a sneaky, cheap option that will 100% be low owned. And just kind of piggybacking off that, going to James McCann, I mean, he's a few hundred more, but he's 5-for-6 off of Jay Happ with a home run in his career. He also has a very nice weighted on base average and a nice ISO versus lefties this season with four home runs. I really like both. I mean, playing in Toronto as well, I like both of them. I think McCann and d'Arnaud offer a little bit of just salary relief if you wanted to go that route at the catcher position, just because they both could hit a home run, and again, they're insanely cheap.
Yep, I am in agreement with you there. I think d'Arnaud is my preference in this spot.
Yeah, you're the Tigers guy. You know, do you think that McCann will start? That's kind of where it comes down to.
Yeah, I'm actually having trouble remembering. We're recording this on Thursday. I can't remember if McCann played in that last game against Cleveland. I actually think that was a Salta Lamacchia game, but he did play Monday night. I actually had a pretty good game against Toronto Monday night. A couple of hits and an RBI.
He didn't play yesterday, so okay. You could see him start.
Yeah, I think McCann will probably be in the lineup on Friday then, if that's the case. I still kind of like d'Arnaud. I really did want to get as cheap as possible, and you kind of sold me on d'Arnaud at the $2,400 price tag, and that money wound up making the difference. Just that $300 wound up allowing me to get Syndergaard into my lineup, so that was the route that I went, and I kind of just like the upside of d'Arnaud a little bit more with McCann. McCann had a really good month of June. He's been struggling a little bit outside of this one game in Toronto here. So I kind of am just going to hedge on d'Arnaud at the slightly cheaper price, although I think they're both completely serviceable. Couple other catchers that we were considering here. Salvador Perez is only $3,000. Monday night, he did have a walk-off two-run double here tonight. And, you know, just generally one of the more solid catchers, and he's fairly cheap. So that was an option I would consider there. And I know another one that you were somewhat interested in was Russell Martin at $3,800. with Mike Pelfrey on the mound for Detroit.
Yeah, another guy that's pretty hot in Russell Martin. He's definitely improved over the last month or so. He has hits in five of the last six games. Mike Pelfrey is hideous against both sides of the plate, but particularly right-handers he struggles with. And he also has he's 3-for-4 in his lifetime against Pelfrey, if you want to go a tiny, small sample size BVP route with Martin as well.
I don't think you can find a player in baseball who's not 3-for-4 against Mike Pelfrey, to be perfectly honest. That being anyone else you want to touch on at catcher? You want to kind of wrap it up, go to first.
No, I'll just mention with Coors Field before we start going into all these positions that, you know, Vincent Velasquez is the opposing starter against Jonathan Gray. I the over-under right now is 11.5 in that game. I don't feel comfortable with that over-under. If I was a betting man, I would go under. Not saying that I think both offenses, you know, are terrible, but I do think that this is a game where, you know, you can kind of fade Coors a bit, especially since DraftKings has a massive bump to all Coors Field players overall. So, I'm not mentioning Nick Hundley and Cameron Roop and guys like that just because their prices don't warrant that salary, in my opinion.
Yep, I am in agreement with you completely. So we will move on to first base with that being said. First name we'll talk about here, not really a shocker that we would suggest him to be a play, but according to you, David Ortiz absolutely owns Chris Archer, and he's 5,300 here, and they're in Boston.
I know it's a long shot to go with Ortiz at home against a righty that's been dreadful on the road. You know, he has a couple home runs and
Ortiz is 40 years old, Mike.
Yeah, so there's definitely downside to this, but obviously he's a stud play. At home, he's been crushing the ball. Yeah, like I mentioned, he has a couple home runs against Archer, almost a 400 batting average in his lifetime, and in over 30 at bats. I think that's enough of a sample size to lend some credence to that. So there's not much to say. Ortiz is probably the best play on the slate.
Yep, I'm in agreement with you. I think E5 is certainly a nice play against Pelfrey, although the thing with Pelfrey is he did have a weird streak this year where he gave up quite a few homers, but he really doesn't allow that many homers. He usually just gives up a shit ton of hits and loses that way. So I definitely prefer Ortiz in this situation if you're going to play one of the top end guys. Next guy we'll talk about here, Eric Hosmer, $4,200 at home against Seattle. Seattle's got Iwakuma on the mound. We both kind of liked this play. If I was looking for a mid-tier guy, I think that would be the option I'd go.
Yeah, man. I mean, Hosmer, the price alone is awesome. He has a 440 weighted on base average at home against righties this season. No, the home ballpark isn't amazing, but the temperature has actually been quite high in Kansas City these last few weeks, and I think that lends to more power production overall. So Hosmer is certainly a guy that I think will go under-owned despite the fact that he's in an amazing matchup. He has also over 1,000 OPS at home against righties as well. I mean, this is a great spot for him.
Yep, I completely agree with you. We'll continue along as well here. Jose Abreu, I believe you told me before the show here he has a hit in like 7 of his last 8 games, but only has one hit. But he is way down priced here at $3,300.
Yeah, I mean, to say he's on like a nice hitting streak is nice and all, but at the end of the day, he only has 2 of those games in the last 9 that are multi-hit, you know, games overall. And I mean, he's not on any type of real hot stretch. So, I mean, at home against Matt Whistler, who has definitely been improved against righties this season, but still is not somebody that is overpowering by any means. He does have a better weighted on base average at home at 320 against righties than he does against lefties, which is kind of odd. But I think that this is certainly a nice place for Abreu, especially since, you know, there's going to be some bigger guys, you know, like Chris Davis or, you know, Albert Pujols, you know, or even E5 or Ortiz, like we already mentioned, that are available on the slate. I think Abreu is somebody that will certainly be under-owned and is in a pretty decent spot.
Yep, I am in agreement with you on that as well. The last guy you wanted to bring up here was Ryan Howard. I think this was just more of a Coors effect play. $3,400.
Absolutely. I'll just leave it at that. He hit a home run tonight in Coors Field. This is going to be a different situation against Jonathan Gray, who is a much better pitcher than Chad Bettis. But, again, it is Coors Field, and his price isn't that insanely high compared to what I thought it would be.
Yeah, so I think I would personally prefer Abreu at $3,300, but Howard certainly the better ballpark matchup there and did, like you say, had a home run Monday night. With that, we will move on to second base here. You wanted to bring up a really cheap option here in Grant Green. I think we're looking at a $2,900 price tag. Is that right?
25. And ooh. I mean, the reason I'm bringing him up, he's, you know, hitting for the Giants. He hit leadoff last game. He earned 9 fantasy points for DraftKings, almost minimum salary. Going to be facing Patrick Corbin, who has been absolutely abysmal this season overall. And it's going to be at home in San Fran, which doesn't offer a ton of power, but I think, you know, is going to be a really nice place for him to get some runs, maybe get some RBIs. I really like the situation Grant Green's in, and the price is kind of a cherry on top.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have a hard time putting him into my lineup, but if you're trying to do the whole thing where you're going to play Syndergaard and Fernandez, you might be tied to that post. So, if that is what you want to do, I think there are worse options, obviously, than getting someone near min salary who's hitting near the top of a lineup. So, I wouldn't fault you for it given that context. Next name we'll bring up here, Ian Kinsler, $4,400. Ian Kinsler basically been the pinnacle of consistency this year. He does have a home run, and I think 2 home runs in his last 6 games, I think, is what we're looking at here. He's hitting around 300, pretty much has been all year. Just a very steady play against Toronto.
Yep, absolutely. Really a safe option. Hits great against lefties, leads off in a really good lineup. There's not much to say other than that. I think he's a really safe option.
All right, fair enough. And then another name that you were interested in, Neil Walker. You kind of are down on Strasburg for tomorrow, as we touched on earlier in the show. Walker only $2,900 for the Mets.
Yeah, $2,900. I feel like we mention him all the time on Fridays.
We do bring him up a lot.
But he does well at home against righties overall. The OPS could be a little bit better, but he gets on base. And he does have a home run and a .350 batting average against Strasburg in his career. So I don't take, you know, everything. I don't take BVP into account, you know, for everything. But I do think that that's, you know, enough to, bend me over for Neil Walker.
All right, fair enough. I think there are worse options than Walker at 29 for sure. The last name we'll mention at second here, your Tampa Bay Rays, Logan Forsyth, $4,200 at Boston with O'Sullivan on the mound.
Yeah, he broke his shoulder blade almost a little bit over a month ago, and he's come back, and it's taking him some time, but you know, he's finally come back to the point where he is improving his power. He finally has a couple home runs over the last 12 games or so. Going to be facing Sean O'Sullivan, who by all metrics is even worse than Mike Pelfrey at baseball, which I know that's hard
possible?
To do.
Is that possible?
Somehow, some way, O'Sullivan has made it possible. So going to be hitting in Boston, that short, left field, green monster there. I think that Forsyth could certainly hit a home run. He hits leadoff for the Rays. The price isn't bad. I think all that together means that you could possibly play him today.
Yeah, there are options that I think I prefer Kinsler just a little bit more. And I kind of like the idea of playing Walker, but I certainly think there are worse options than getting Forsyth in the lineup in Boston against a bad pitcher. So would not fault anybody for that one at all. Moving on to third base here, I guess we'll just talk about the top end guys just real briefly here. We kind of like all of them in this matchup. Donaldson, 56 against Pelfrey. You want to afford, you can afford it. Go ahead and do it. Bryant, 55 against Liriano. Same thing. Arenado, 51 against Velasquez. We're not going to fault anybody for making any of these plays.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that being said, we'll continue down the list. A couple of cheaper options here. Adrian Beltre's $3,700. Hasn't been great lately, but he's at home, so obviously has the good park in Texas. Minnesota coming in with Gibson on the mound. I kind of like this spot for Beltre.
I completely agree. Texas is a really good offense at home. At some point, Beltre is going to turn this thing around. He did have a key hit the other night, an RBI double that really got them back into the game. I think just little things like that can turn him around. So I don't fault the play at all against Kyle Gibson. And, the price tag, like you mentioned, is great at $3,700.
Yeah, and then just slightly more expensive than him, we have Miguel Sano at 39. Sano with a home run a couple of games ago, just kind of getting back into the swing of things after coming off the DL here, but you were interested in this play against Hamels as well.
Yeah, an insane ISO against lefties. Like I kind of mentioned with Cole Hamels, I'm a little bit weary of the situation. Sano also walks at a pretty elite rate against left-handers as well, so at 3,900, he would be my preferred option above Beltre just because of the power output alone. But like I said, I think that he's a strong play against Hamels.
And then just slightly more expensive than that, at $4,100, we have Evan Longoria. We already kind of touched on this like we did with Forsyth. Yeah, lost it for a second there. But at Boston with O'Sullivan on the mound here. Longoria with 18 homers already on the year, kind of having a resurgence year here. Like that price tag at 41.
Yeah, same thing with Forsyth. O'Sullivan is terrible. Longoria has a really nice history against Boston overall, and especially in Fenway Park. He's just somebody that's always had success there. So I think Longoria is another guy that has a very economical price tag and will probably be a bit under-owned since there's so many other awesome third base options.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you from that perspective. I don't think you're going to see a lot of people with him in their lineup tomorrow, so it might be one of those sneakier plays, and certainly has a great matchup given the ballpark and the opposing pitcher. That being said, let's jump over into shortstop here. Again, we're just going to kind of touch on some of the top options here. Machado is at home against Shoemaker. Shoemaker coming back down off of that crazy stretch that he had where he was showing Mike up for calling him the worst pitcher to ever pitch in baseball.
Was I wrong?
Yeah, well, he's coming back to earth a little bit here, so obviously we're not going to fault anyone. They want to get Machado in there. Tulo been hot lately, and Pelfrey on the mound for Detroit, $4,800, not going to fault anyone there either. That being said, we'll give you a couple of the options lower on the list here. Eduardo Nunez at Texas, lefty on the mound. Obviously, that's Nunez's bread and butter. So you're interested in him at 4,400.
Yeah, somehow, some way, he is the top shortstop on the ESPN player radar so far this season. Don't ask me how that happened, but I mean, if you look at his game logs, he is just consistent, and that's all you can really ask for. Like you mentioned, going to be facing a lefty, going to be in a good ballpark, good situation. There's not much bad to say, and the price tag isn't bad either. I really love Eduardo Nunez.
Yep, I agree with you completely. And then we'll jump down to Carlos Correa here. Correa, $3,900 at home. I don't think we've talked about Oakland, Houston at all yet. But at home, Oakland out there, gosh, I can't even remember who the hell they're throwing.
They're throwing Daniel Mangdon.
Ah, that's right, Mangdon. Mangdon had a couple of good starts so far since getting up, but I think we're still interested in Correa at that price.
Yeah, depressed price based on where he should be. I understand he's had a bad few games here, and overall not the best season that you know people would be hoping for from since he ended so good last season, but overall, I don't think that he's a $3,900 player. I think he is much higher than that. He's also a boom-bust tournament option. I think in cash games, you want to kind of veer somewhere else. But at least for tournaments, there's not much higher upside than Carlos Correa. And the fact that you're getting him at a price tag that is outside of the top 12 shortstops, I think is absolutely great for fantasy.
Yep, I agree with you. And Correa is the guy that I will be having in my lineup, just a sneak peek for everybody there. Last name we'll touch on at shortstop. Jose Reyes has been fairly productive in his first couple games back with the Mets here, only $2,700.
Yeah, and I completely understand if you just will never play him in daily fantasy or season long just because of what he's done in his history. Completely get it. This is a game for fun. And, if you don't feel good about it, then I understand. But he did hit a home run tonight, and he also, has been leading off since he's come up with the Mets. I think that there's worse spots. Like I've mentioned before, I'm really not on Strasburg today. That could be a very big mistake on my part, but I don't think it is. I feel pretty confident that the Mets will put up a pretty decent game against him, and the fact that Reyes is 2,700, I really like the tag, so I will certainly be rolling him out wherever I can.
Yeah, hate the man, like the play. Yeah. It's acceptable.
Pretty much. The A-Rod argument. Like, do you hate A-Rod enough that you'll just never play him anywhere, even though he's been shitty as hell this year? But
Not entirely the same for me. But I mean, I don't like A-Rod, but we're gonna not talk about it though. We're gonna move into the outfield here. We're gonna kind of tackle this like we have a couple recent episodes. I just give you the outfield teams that we're looking at, and then our favorites in those spots. So I know you kind of are interested in the Tampa Bay outfield here. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, again, I've mentioned with Sean O'Sullivan, you have Corey Dickerson at 3,800, Steven Souza at 38, and you also have Brandon Guyer if you want to go there at 3,600. I would much rather gravitate towards Dickerson or Souza because of their power upside alone, but both of those guys I think will be highly underowned because of the fact that there's so many other great spots on the slate today. But make no mistake, both of them have two home run upside, and I think that their price tag is really affordable.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really considering the Tampa outfield for tomorrow as you know, I normally don't, but it is a really good spot. Again, we've touched on this with Boston a couple times already, but given that pitching matchup in that park, so I would certainly be interested at sub 4,000 price tags. Another outfield we're interested in is Baltimore. Mark Trumbo continues to defy odds of not being the worst hitter in baseball and actually being one of the best for some reason. 26 home runs now, had a two-homer game on Wednesday, absolutely killing the baseball, $4,900, and Adam Jones, $4,500. These are both against Matt Shoemaker. I think these are both more than reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, Shoemaker, whenever he does struggle, it's against righties. Wherever they're playing, I guess, like Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Camden Yards is one of the best places to hit in all of baseball. Adam Jones has been a stud since he has moved to the leadoff spot this year. He's at 4,500. I prefer him to Trumbo, who is at 4,900. You know, Trumbo, as much as I can't stand the guy, he continues to produce, so you have to capitalize on that in DFS until things slow down. And in tournaments, he's the type of guy, again, that has two home run upside, and that's obviously valuable.
Yep, completely agree. Don't know how he's doing it, but he is. So take advantage of it while it continues. Another outfield here. We'll take the flip side and tackle on Mr. Archer here, like the Boston outfield.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr., I think, will be heavily unowned. I think he's going to be 4,300. People, I think, will just glance over him, despite, you know, even though he's been one of the best players in the first half. He just hasn't been as hot lately, so I think that that will keep his ownership level down. But he has had a couple home runs over the last 10 games or so, and he's the type of guy that can certainly, you know, pay dividends at that price. Brock Holt just came back from his concussion problems. He's been hitting fairly well as well. A home run in his first four starts since coming back. He's only 3,300, really good price tag for him. And Mookie Betts obviously is an option any given day. He's 5,200. I won't be playing him today, but you know, overall, I have to mention him since I do think that Boston ends up putting up a big number against Archer.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be touching Betts in this spot, particularly just because of the price tag, and there's a couple other options if you're going to spend I would rather spend on than Betts, but I certainly am interested in Jackie Bradley at a little bit more of a repressed price. I wouldn't like or hate that play at all. Last names I want to touch on here. I don't know if you want to touch on the Angels outfield as a whole, but I think Mike Trout is, I mean, he's priced for it, but he's obviously the best play in the outfield against Ubaldo Jimenez, who is just actually might be the one pitcher I think is worse than Mike Pelfrey in baseball. 5,600 for Trout. I always like to target Ubaldo no matter what. There was just no way I was not getting Mike Trout in my lineup today. Cole Calhoun, I think we talked about briefly, was, what was he, 4,500, Mike, something
yep.
in that neighborhood?
Yeah, 45.
Yeah, so I don't hate it. I just don't think there's a lot of upside with Calhoun there. But Trout is, I think, is absolutely worth the price tag. And I don't say that very often about near 6,000 priced guys. A couple other names that I know that you were interested in were Springer. Springer only $4,400, if I remember correctly. So you were interested in him against Oakland. And then Giancarlo, obviously heating up here. But as you would expect, once Giancarlo starts heating up, the price tag is going to rise quickly, I think, at 49 already.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Stanton has been on a tear recently has brought his price back up. He's going to be facing Straley, though, who is a flyball pitcher and, you know, gives up a ton of walks as well. You know, big home run to flyball rate. I mean, Marlins Park, it doesn't really matter for Stanton since he, you know, has power to any field. It doesn't matter. Springer, I just don't understand with these Astros bats. I understand Daniel Megden has been okay, but the fact that they are depressing these guys' prices to the point where they are just kind of mid-tier, you know, mid-tier overall doesn't make sense to me. I think Springer, you know, he's been, if not the best, one of the best outfielders so far this season. And, you know, the fact that he can, you know, hit one or two home runs and steal one or two bases any given night is certainly worth that tag in tournaments, and I would have no problem doing that.
Yep, I have lot of interest in Springer. I might wind up trying to sneak him into my lineup. I have that'll actually be a question I'll probably pose to you when we get to the premier lineup. Before we do that, anyone else you want to touch on at outfield here?
Yeah, I'll just throw out the Toronto outfield. Ezekiel Carrera's 4,000, Michael Saunders 47, and Kevin Pillar at 36, all again facing Pelfrey. The Tigers bullpen is pretty hideous overall. Sorry, Cam.
Nah, that's true.
You know, I mean, Toronto is obviously a great place to hit, so you're looking at a really good spot for all of those guys. And, you know, I'll just mention, we're not trying to sit here and not mention Coors Field. You know, you have Odubel Herrera up there at 5,100. Charlie Blackman and Cargo are both 53 and 52, respectively. I'm not going there, but again, they're great plays. Again, it's Coors Field, so there's never a day where, you know, those guys aren't in consideration when that's the situation overall. But for me personally, I'm going to be steering clear.
Yep, I'm kind of steering clear of Coors overall, outside of me playing John Gray for this slate, so I am in agreement with you there. That being said, we will move into the premier lineups, but before we do that, our weekly or showly, I don't know, how do I say that? Our bi-weekly official FantasyRings.com promo. Who are official FantasyRings.com? They're fantasy sports enthusiasts just like you and me, but the geniuses who realized that lugging a trophy or belt all over the place wasn't practical to flaunt your victory. So why not buy a championship ring from officialfantasyrings.com so you can punch your defeated foes in the face and leave an imprint of their shame on their forehead for hours to come. And don't forget to use promo code FWBFB for 10% off at checkout. Mike, let's get into these premier lineups. You want to lead it off or you want me to?
How about you lead it off this week?
Yeah, I'm all right with that. I feel like I normally let you go first. I'm all right getting my name out here. I did touch on the pitching already earlier in the podcast. I am going with Noah Syndergaard against Washington, and I am pairing him up with John Gray in what I will admit to being an insanely risky play, but I was able to get an offense that I was pretty confident in doing that. With them at catcher, I have played Travis d'Arnaud, as you mentioned there. Needed to get one really cheap option in there, and with d'Arnaud being relatively hot back in the lineup there, I will play him at the $2,400 price tag. First base, I have Eric Hosmer. Second base, Kinsler at Toronto. Beltre at third against Minnesota. Shortstop, I went with Correa at home against Oakland. And then I have an outfield of Nomar Mazara, Mike Trout, and Adam Jones. This was the one question I had. Jones is 4,500. Springer is 44. That was the one debate I was leaving in this lineup. What's your preferred play?
Jones 45, and who else?
Springer's 44.
I would feel more comfortable with Springer than I would Jones. But I mean, it's really close.
It is very close. That was the one hang up I was having in there, so I might make that change. But other than that, I will be rolling with the lineup as presented. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead and give me what you got here.
Yeah, so I have one lineup already ready with my strategy from, like I talked about before, with Syndergaard and Fernandez up top. I am in the process of trying to work out a lineup where I have Fernandez and Ventura both in there. That way I can kind of give the listeners just a little bit of a different view of how the, you know, different lineups end up whenever you do the different strategies or whatever. But I'll roll in the top lineup first. So you have obviously Fernandez and Syndergaard, and then I went with d'Arnaud, like before, like you did at 2,400. Eric Hosmer at 42 at first base. Neil Walker at 29. Adrian Beltre at third base for 37. Jose Reyes at 27 at shortstop. And then my outfield is going to consist of got a few guys we didn't talk about. Adam Eaton at 3,700 against Matt Whistler, which, you know, he's had the history of struggling against lefties. Adam Eaton does much better at home and also against righties, so I obviously like that. Justin Upton is crazy, 2,300 against J.A. Happ against a lefty in Toronto. I think that's a very, you know, good spot to possibly capitalize on value there. And then I went with Steven Souza at 3,800. I obviously think that he has two home run upside and feel pretty comfortable with that. So that's what I'm rolling with there. And I'm in
it
the
wasn't
process.
It wasn't nearly as disgusting as I thought it was going to be. I will tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I only had 100 left over, so it's not like I, you know, was able to, you know, gain some value and, you know, work on my offense in other places. So, I mean, it just kind of is what it is there. But, I mean, overall, I think it could have gone worse, which, you know, is obviously a good sign.
I think the Upton price is really good. I think the Walker at 29 is good. And you were able to get a couple of decent plays in there. I like the Souza play. We both touched on how much we like Hosmer. So I actually think you wound up doing pretty well there.
Yeah, I'm working on this lineup here, the second one. Where I went with Fernandez and Ventura up top. And then I have Darno and Eric Hosmer once again at catcher and first base. I'm rolling with, at second base, Ian Kinsler in this one, Miguel Sano at third base, and then Carlos Correa over at shortstop. And then my outfield, I made sure I put Trout and Springer in there, but that leaves me with 2,900 left over. So I obviously will have to adjust that. I didn't get enough time to really do more digging and get that done. But if I wanted to, I could just shift right over to Justin Upton once again at 2,300, who offers a pretty good amount of value on this slate, and then kind of adjust the rest of my lineup accordingly. But overall, I think it gives the listeners a little bit of a different view of how your lineup will turn out if you decide to go with Ventura instead of Noah Syndergaard as your second starter, and throw in Mike Trout and George Springer in your outfield if you wanted to go that route. So it adds a little, just a ton more upside on offense, with obviously a big downgrade at pitcher with Ventura instead of Syndergaard.
Yeah, I actually, we had a lot of similarities in the second half there, so I actually have to go through and see where the hell I messed up, since I'm paying for Gray at $2,000 more than Ventura. Where did I spend that extra cash at? but that will be something I will do off the podcast. We will, at this point, wrap up the podcast. I am your host, Cameron Miller. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at CameronMiller00. Don't forget to listen to the Tuesday DFS show that I do with Eli. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, we were off this week for the 4th of July, so we did not record. Not that you guys would have listened anyway, so don't let no one be bitching at me about that. I do want to say, as I always forget to do at the top of the show, I want to thank Lore Michaels and the Biletones for providing our intro music. Very appreciative to those guys for providing that for us. Mike, you want to let everyone know kind of what you're working on, where they can find you?
Yeah, you can also always reach me on Twitter at Mike Warner FWFB. Please rate and review the podcast. Like we always mention, it really helps us out. 5 stars is preferred, but if not, we always welcome any feedback.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah, mainly leave it towards Justin Mason or Eli Rosenzweig, but if it has to be towards me or Cam, that's fine as well, I guess. And you can read my newest article on FriendsWithFantasyBenefits.com. I'm in the middle of a series comparing dynasty prospects. I started off with the outfield position. This week I did Gregory Polanco versus Charlie Blackmon. Did a really nice in-depth analysis of both those guys and how you can look at them moving forward. So definitely check that out on the site, and sign up for an account, interact with us on the site as well. We have different forums and things that you can do on there. So please check that out. You can also read my daily matchups column on Baseball HQ on Saturdays, like a DFS piece for starting pitchers on that day and using the ranking system and everything. And you can always check out my Rays updates on fantasypros.com, and you can check out Matt Thompson and myself on the Prospect Pod on Mondays, and also the Wednesday main pod for the Friends of Fantasy Benefits website with myself and Justin and Eli and Matt as well.
All right. Appreciate everything you do for us over there, Mike, and everybody else. That being said, let's shut this sucker down. Never know.